for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, July the 6th, 1993. This is the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the speaker of the morning.
Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. The word is a lamp to our feet. It's a very light to our pathway. And you said the entrance of the word gives light. And in your light, you said we'd see light. So, Lord, thank you for the light. Jesus, you're the light. And yet you said we're the light of the world. So, Lord, open our understanding today. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, Lord. And as we approach the word, we approach it reverently, Lord. We thank you for the word. And, Lord, in ourselves, we can do nothing but we submit to you. And we believe that you are the head of the church. You're the head of this temple. And we thank you for allowing us to be part of it. And everybody said, amen. In Jesus' name, praise God. I want us to turn today to the book of Corinthians. I had a lot of things working in my spirit. And we want to go to Corinthians. How many know we're living in exciting days? Exciting days. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we want to look at verse 33. As I woke up this morning at 5 something, the Lord began to speak to my inner man about watch who you run with. I mean, you can get with the wrong crowd pretty easy. Amen. And we have to watch who we run with. Now, in this scripture, verse 33, here, notice it says, be not deceived, which means there's a possibility of being deceived. You know, Jesus warned, the first thing Jesus ever said in Matthew 24, one of the first things he ever said was, take heed that no man deceive you. Remember that? Because he said, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Literally, it means I am the Christ. And we know that they're going to come in His name and show great signs and wonders. If you'll go on down in the chapter and read, Mark said that they'll come to seduce even, if it were possible, the very elect. There is a spirit of seduction, isn't there? Not on the natural, but in the spirit. And John, in the epistle, got a hold of that and said, those that would come to seduce you, he said, remember this, you have an anointing in you, that you need not any man teach you. I mean, the Holy Ghost is in us to teach us truth from error. And God will show us those that would come to seduce us if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit within. I mean, there's areas in all of our lives we have been seduced or been deceived in some areas. Come on, help me now. Sure. But God's helping us overcome that and learn to listen to His voice that's within us. Amen? Now, He said here, be not deceived in Corinthians. Evil communications corrupt. Come on. Good what? Manners. Now, notice that word communications. Evil communications. That word means bad company. So, evil company or evil partners, or it means evil associates, will corrupt good manners or good morals. So, we have to watch who we run with. Now, let me tell you what it does. When you get with the wrong people, it does two things. I'm talking about as Christians now, we'll say. It will affect your behavior, and it will affect your doctrine, what you believe. How many believe that? How many know people get in law, legalism, and letter? And we can follow fleshly traits instead of following the Spirit. And Jack touched that last night. I was a good word last night. How many enjoyed that last night? I really got a lot. God really spoke to me about Laodicea when you were sharing last night. I got a lot out of that message. And I got a lot of all the messages yesterday. I appreciate Brother Frank's word yesterday afternoon, the deliverance we had. And I know the yawning that I was doing wasn't natural. It was some of that deliverance taking hold of me. I mean, we all need it. Preachers need it as bad as anybody. And then yesterday morning, Chuck's message was very good. It's very enlightening, and I really appreciate his word. But the thing is, this when we get with the wrong crowd, it affects our behavior and our doctrine. Now, look here in chapter 15. Let's see how it affected some of the people's doctrine here in this church. Not everybody, but some of them. Chapter 15, look at verse 12. And Paul said, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some," not everybody, "but some among you, that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were some people in this church that was being affected in their doctrine. They were not right on the resurrection. They were literally saying there was no resurrection. Well, thank God. How many know there is a resurrection? It's within, and yet it's out there. It's going to be out there, too, one of these days. Thank God. I'd like to get on that myself and preach on that. Jack touched on it last night. But I like to teach on the resurrection. There's a lot there. Now, look at another scripture with me. Look in Galatians chapter 4 with me. Look in Galatians 4. I'm just going to touch a few things, and we're going into some scriptures here. Galatians chapter 4, and look at chapter 5. Galatians 5, and look at verse 4. Galatians 5, 4. I believe it is. Chapter 5, verse 4. Hallelujah. Of the book of Galatians. I'm in Ephesians, and I won't get it. All right, here it is. He said, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by what? Love." Now look at verse 7. "Ye did run well." How many have known people that started out this race and they were running in a good race? But somebody, you know, may not be running at the same pace they used to run before. Isn't that right? Because somebody hindered them. He said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" In fact, Paul told the same church, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Remember that? Now look at the next verse. He said, "This persuasion or this belief cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven," just takes a little bit. A little leaven. How many know it's going to leaven or raise the whole lump? And you ladies that make bread, how many know it doesn't take much leaven, does it? To cause that bread to rise. Isn't that right? And Paul is saying it just takes a little leaven, a little sin, and it's going to leaven the whole lump. How many know one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch if you don't get rid of it? Come on, help me now. And then if you go back to 1 Corinthians 5, just a second. 1 Corinthians 5, we see another scripture here. We know here was a man living with his father's wife, and in fornication, he would not repent. And we know this church had a problem with fornication. How many know these were tongue talkers? Come on, help me now. And they had a problem with fornication. Now look in chapter 5 and verse 4. We'll just start down in verse 4. Paul said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh." Why? "That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." He said, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven, just a little now again, leaveneth the whole lump." Now notice what he tells this church. Purge out. I mean, no, that means to purge out. That means to expel, get rid of, come on, that influence. I mean, no, there's different kinds of discipline we need. There is God's discipline in our life. There is self-discipline. There is church discipline. There is home discipline. And there's even government discipline. I mean, no, we have to obey the laws of the land. Unless it goes against God's law. Isn't that right? Amen. So there's discipline. And we need to be disciplined by God and these other ways. Now, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, because you're unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity, come on, and in truth. Now, look at verse 11. He said, "Now I've written to you, church, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator." Now, God, if you know a brother that says he's a brother, he's known the Lord, he's living in fornication, what God says? He said, "Don't company with that one." I mean, no, that's pretty plain. Or covetous. Do you know any Christians that are covetous? I mean, no, we all have to guard against it. idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner, and so forth. He said, don't even eat with that one. Now, verse 12 and 13, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without, that's without the church, do not you judge them that are where? Within. Next verse. But them that are without, God's going to judge, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Church discipline is real today. Now, I know there's a lot of people, turn a lot of people over to the devil that shouldn't. They shouldn't do those things all the time because God's not directing. But there are times that some of this like this has to be done. This man would not repent. He was living openly in fornication. And Paul said, turn him over. How many know when the enemy comes at you, he's going to hit you? If the man's known the Lord, had any sense, he's going to repent sooner or later before he dies. Isn't that right? Huh? How many know God knows how to get our attention? You better believe it. Amen. Now, let me give you another scripture real quick. Look at Timothy. Look at Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. I said, if you run with the wrong bunch, the wrong crowd, it's going to affect you, your behavior, and what you believe. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here is a point right here that we're making. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun or avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Next verse. For their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, here's the error, that the resurrection is past already. It's already over, folks. And overthrow, notice, the faith of some. How many know those people that followed David Koresh believed they were right? Huh? But it led them to their death, didn't it? Sure did. But look at the next verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's ownership. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity or lawlessness. Praise God. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy 3, and the Lord gave me something recently. I want to share this with you. Here, I want to look at the negative first, then I want to look at the positive. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Paul said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And that word perilous means oppressive times. It means hard times. It means troublesome times, dangerous times, harsh times. And it means fierce times or demonic. Now, hold your place. Look in Matthew 8, 28. Let me show you this. Look at Matthew 8, 28. So it's sure the same word. It's only used one other time. Matthew 8, 28. And it says, and when he, Jesus, was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils or demons coming out of the tombs. Notice, here it is, exceeding what? Now, that's the word for perilous times over there. Exceeding fear. So it's demonic times, so that no man might pass that way. Well, how many know Jesus delivered them? Set them free. And it also means savage times, serious times, difficult times, grievous times, terrible times. Now, that's all bad. Now, go back to Timothy. Look there in Timothy now, 2 Timothy 3. He said there'll be perilous times, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so forth. And then if you look on down, you'll see they're lovers of not only that, but pleasure. So you've got lovers of men, lovers of self. You got lovers of money because they're covetous. And you got lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now look at verse 5. In the midst of all this perilous time, we're going to see a lot of religiosity, aren't we? Look at verse 5. Having what? A form, come on, of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such. Turn away. God said, turn away from those who deny the power of godliness. Amen? Now, going back to what I said, the word perilous times means all those things that I brought up, fierce times and savage times and so forth. And I looked up this word for perilous times, and then it's from another word, and here's what the other word means. It means to let down. Everybody say that. Let down. And so I saw something. When I saw this word, and the word let down is the same word where the men took this man that was sick on the bed. Remember? They took the tiling off a roof and let him down, come on, in the presence of Jesus. Remember that? And so here was a man that was healed. Hallelujah. So in the midst of perilous times, somebody's going to get healed. Come on. Amen. And then I saw another word. It said there in Luke 5 that they let down their nets for a draw. And remember, the nets broke. So when some, in the midst of perilous times, somebody's coming to Jesus. There's going to be a harvest. Going to be an ingathering. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory. How many want to be part of it? And then it's the same word in Acts 9:25 where they let Paul down in a basket. They let Paul down in a basket. How many's ever read that? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody escaped with their life. God protected somebody right in the midst of perilous times, we'd say. Hallelujah. And then also later it says they let him down not on the basket, but it says in 2 Corinthians 11, it says they let him down by a wall, over the wall. How many believe somebody's got to come over some walls in perilous times? Come on, barriers, mountains, hindrances, those things standing in our way. Can you say amen? And then I found out in Acts 27, when they were on the ship and the thing was about to go down, what did they do? They got a lifeboat out. Remember that? They let the lifeboat down in the sea. And Paul said, if you get in that boat, you're not going to make it. Come on. You're going to drown. He said, you got to stay in the boat, buddy. Buddies, if you're going to make it. Hallelujah. What does that mean? There's no escapism in this perilous time. Don't look for an escape. Amen. In the natural. Look to God. Amen. So in the midst of perilous times, somebody's going to get healed. There's going to be a great harvest come in. Somebody's going to be protected. Somebody's coming out over the walls. And there'll be no escape in the natural or the physical. God is our refuge. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go over with me now to Romans 16. One of the scriptures here I want to look at. Romans 16. Watch who you run with. Romans 16, 17. And Paul tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. And there are spirits of divisiveness that comes into the churches. And people bring it in. How many know shepherds have to be alerted and have to be discerning to know who comes in? Because we're responsible to God and for the sheep. Hallelujah. How many know we need some discernment today, all of us? More than we've ever had. I need it. You need it. We all need it. And he said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and notice something. Don't take them home to dinner. Come on, avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And if you read this in Philippians 3, those that serve their belly are those who hate the cross. And that's the cross in their own life. And by good words and fair speeches, brethren, they deceive, notice, the hearts of the simple or the innocent. They go after the young ones. Come on. And believe me, listen, I know of a church, God sent, Bill knows it, God sent me there, I preached Jezebel 4 or 5 times. Every time I go, God tell me to preach on Jezebel. And I said, what in the world's going on, Lord? Every time I go to this place, I got to preach on Jezebel. Well, later on, the church split right in two, and it was, and there was a man come from Germany, it linked up with this Jezebel spirit, and it split the church right dead, right in the middle, I should say. Are you hearing me? And yet I know God had been warning them and warning them, not just through me, but others. And how many know sometimes we hear and we hear, but we don't hear? We need to hear the voice within the voice today. Come on. Hallelujah. There are things happening in my own life. I didn't listen to God. Two men stood on me, one prophesied on this side, one on this side. This man prophesied. It seemed to me something negative. This guy, it was all positive. I said, well, I'm going with that. But I should have listened to that. Come on. Because I was affected this several months ago. And if I would have listened to this prophetic word, it was a strong exhortation. I'd never got in the little trouble I had. But God got me through. Thank God. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But that's neither here nor there. But how many know we got to forgive? I got to forgive. By an act of my will. God, help me to forgive and help you to forgive. Amen? So he said, avoid them who cause these divisions. Now, turn with me to 2 Samuel 15. We're going to touch some things here in the Old Testament now. Anybody in a hurry to go to lunch? Praise God. I ate breakfast. I'm no hurry. Jack didn't eat this morning, I don't think. No hurry. 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15. Now look at verse 1. Now, here we have a man named Absalom. Absalom means father of peace. Now, let's go back just a minute. How many know that Saul, the king in the Old Testament, that was the people's king? His name means ask of God, doesn't it? You know that? He's a type picture of the law. And how many know that there was warfare between Saul and David? And it said that the house of David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul, come on, waxed weaker and weaker. Or we could look at the spirit and the flesh. We could look at a lot of things there in that particular battle. But anyway, how many know the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? Okay? And then David means beloved. He's a picture of Jesus. And aren't you glad today that you and I are in the beloved? I thank God I'm in the beloved, aren't you? And as David was king over God's people, we know Jesus today is our king. Now, then there's Solomon, whose name means peace. There was no war in Solomon's time like it was with David. David was a man of war and a man of blood. And Solomon, his reign speaks of that thousand-year reign that Jack talked about last night. And I know there's a lot, as Jack says, got to be cleaned up and cleared up. But how many know God is going to bring peace to the earth? Oh, yes. Praise God. Now, before David's reign is over and Solomon's reign began, there somebody had to overcome Absalom. Are you hearing me? He's a picture of the Antichrist. Now, look here. Look here in the Scriptures. Now, look here in chapter 15, verse 1. It says this. Notice. It came to pass after this. Now, I want you to think with me just a minute. If you go back to chapter 14, verse 25, Absalom had a problem. Look back there. How many know it said that none in Israel, there was none in Israel that so praised Absalom because of his beauty. Because he had this beauty from the sole of his feet. Now, when we look at somebody, we start from the head down, don't we? But yet the Bible said from the sole of his feet, even to the crown of his head. How many know David was a good-looking man? Sure. How many know that's true? Yep, you go back in Samuel and you'll see it. Now, look down here with me. Let's see what kind of guy this was. He called for Joab in verse 3, and Joab wouldn't come. So you know what Absalom did? He just set the barley field on fire, and that got this guy to running pretty quick. How many ever felt like your barley field was on fire? Well, if it hadn't been, it might be for long, so just hang on. How many know God could get our attention pretty quick? Now, it says here in this 15th chapter, it came to pass that Absalom prepared, notice him, chariots and horses, and 50 men to run before him. Now, 50 is the number of Pentecost. How many know that's true? 50 is the number of Pentecost. So we got some Pentecostals, we got some charismatics or charismatics, whatever you want to call them, that's going to follow this guy. And they're going to go run. They're going to go run before him and don't know why they're running. How many's ever been in a race and didn't know why you're in a race? Well, you better know why you're in this race, amen. I mean, no, we're all running. We all better make sure we're in the right lane and we're not running somebody else's lane, amen? Amen. Praise God. And so, let me tell you about this man. He was not only a usurper of authority, he was a charmer. He was charismatic. He was a controller. He was an interceptor. He was a seducer. He was a man of flattery. How many know flattery? Some people just can't take it. It'll destroy. You know, the Antichrist, Daniel says, will come in with flattery. There is a spirit of flattery. And it's a lying spirit. It's a smooth mouth. How many know that prophets that speak smooth things and peace and not really what God's saying, how many know they can, they'll get you in trouble right quick if you listen to it? Come on, hear me now. And God might take them out. Isn't that right? Praise God. Now, I mean, I believe we have to speak it in a good way, but I believe we have to speak what God says. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, look here in verse 2. Absalom rose up early. He gets up early, and notice he rose up. I mean, know there's a spirit of pride that we all have to repent of. God warned me to go down, to stay down, when I started the ministry years ago. And I think we all need a good dose of humility. Come on, help me now. He rose up early, got up early, and stood beside the way of the gate. Now, the gate was where the leadership was, the elders of the land, the authority of the land. And notice he's going right out there where the authority is. How many know there's a lot of people rise up and say, I'm a prophet, come on, I'm an apostle, I'm a teacher, I'm a shepherd, and God hadn't put them in that office. And notice this guy's going out to where the authority is, and he's going to intercept the people here. What he's going to do, he's going to put down his father's authority, and he's going to lift up himself. Notice what it says. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called to him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said to him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Nobody of the king's going to listen to you. Nobody in authority is going to listen to you. But listen to what he says. He said, moreover, Paul said, I die daily. If I were made judge in the land, my father's not going to listen to you. Those in authority's not going to listen to you. But if I was in authority in the land, he said, every man that has any suit or cause might come to me, and I would do him justice. My father won't do him justice, but I will. How many know that's Antichrist? How many know it's dangerous to stand against the authority God has raised up? I don't care where it's at. Verse 5. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeyance, that's homage, he put forth his hand and took him and slobbered all over it. Notice he kissed him. Amen. How many of those who reach for authority will slobber on you? Huh? How many know you don't reach for authority? No. You obey. You reach for obedience. And when you obey, God will bring forth authority. Hallelujah. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, notice, stole or won the favor of the hearts of the men of Israel by flattery, by seduction. And I tell you, brethren, I know Brother Jack prayed for a president. I'm praying for him to God save him. But I tell you, we got a mess in Washington. And not just in Washington, it's all across the land. And I know we have to pray for them. God tells us to pray for the leaders. And I believe, and I pray that God will save them. But that don't mean we have to believe the garbage that's coming out across the land on homosexuality and abortion. We don't have to believe that stuff. God's got a remnant that will not bend, bow, or budge to the enemy in this hour. I do. I believe there's going to be people put their life on the line. But they're going to stand for righteousness and holiness. And they're not going to fall for the garbage that we're hearing. Come on, help me now. Praise God. But God has to give us strength to do that. Now, verse 10. Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, notice, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. You know, many people can toot the horn for you, but how many know when you start tooting your own horn, you better look out? Now, when the trumpet sounded, they begin to say, well, Absalom is reigning. He's the king in Hebron, is really what they were saying. And then verse 11, Absalom went with 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. Notice, that were called. And they went in their simplicity or innocence, and they knew not anything. So here's a lot of people following this man. They know not why they're following him. They have been seduced. And then it says in verse 12, the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are gone or committed unto Absalom. They're following the Antichrist. Come on. They're following the false. And I tell you, brethren, there are people today that's going to follow the Antichrist. Hallelujah. There are people that's going to follow the false anointing. But God, again, give us discernment to follow the true Christ and the true anointing. Can you say amen? Now, a lot more here. I'm just going to touch a couple of things. Look over with me. We know he slept with David's concubines. We know that he went against the direction of Ahithophel, and Ahithophel killed himself. Look over in chapter 18, though. How many know Absalom got raptured? 18:9. Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, but didn't have a yellow ribbon on it, did it? And his head caught hold of the oak, because he had a lot of hair, you know. And he was taken up between heaven and earth. There he is. He was raptured, see? And the mule that was under him went away. So he was hanging. He didn't go any further, did he? And then he was killed. Now look at verse 18. Look over in chapter 18. I can say a lot more about that, but I won't. Chapter 18, verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. That word pillar means a monument. How many know there's a lot of monuments raised up after men? Come on. A lot of men put their names on monuments. Still there. Amen. That's right. Amen. Like one guy said that one time, you know, one lady belonged to so many clubs that they put over her tombstone, she was clubbed to death. So, I don't know how true that was. But notice, there was a monument, there was a pillar to this man. And so, it was called Absalom's place. Praise God. So, he was taken out, this young man. And of course, it broke David's heart. And David cried for him. Now, go over to another scripture. I want to go over now to, I want to go over to 2 Chronicles 17. 17. 2 Chronicles 17. I want to spend some time in Chronicles and Kings now. 2 Chronicles 17. We're saying to you today, watch who you run with. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1. We know that Asa had died. His son took his place, who was Jehoshaphat. This is the line of Judah, the kings of Judah. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. And it says in verse 1 that he began to reign, of course, in his father's stead. And then in verse 3, notice it says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. It's good that the Lord was leaders. Amen. Because, here's why God was with him. Because he walked in the first ways of his father David, sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers, and walked in the commandments, and not after the doings of the customs of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. He had riches and honor in abundance. I mean, God will and can prosper his people if they follow him correctly. I believe that. Verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord. Now, one of the ways of the Lord is judgment. Deuteronomy, Daniel, others tell us that. So here's a man that walked in the judgment or the justice of God, or the ways of God. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Then look in verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So God not only prospered him and blessed him, but God kept him for a period of time from war. But look in chapter 18. In chapter 18, we see that Jehoshaphat, this good king, begins to enter into an affinity or an agreement with a wicked king. And there are three alliances I'm looking at. There's a military alliance, there's a marital alliance, and there's a monetary alliance. Now, when he began to open up to Ahab, and they were joining in this military alliance, that very thing opened up his home to the enemy. How many know there are things we as fathers and mothers can do that will open up our homes, come on, and our children will suffer? You know, Lot took his daughters into Sodom, and how many know, or let's put it this way, they lived in Sodom, but how many know when they came out of Sodom, they were still affected by that thing? And if we take our children into Sodom or into Gomorrah or anything that's evil, it's going to affect them, and we will be accountable to God, every one of us. And I think we all have children that need to walk closer to God, needs to cry out to God for His great salvation. I'm praying for mine. How about you? Amen. Now, we see this affinity was made here, though, with Ahab. Now, it says here in verse 7, of course, Ahab, you know, was a wicked king, and Jehoshaphat was going to go to war, and he wanted to hear a prophet. And he said, we want to inquire, verse 6, we'd like to inquire of another prophet. And Ahab said, well, I know one, but I hate him. I hate him. Because he doesn't prophesy to me anything that's good, it's always evil. Well, I mean, no, Micah had a word for him, all right. The word was that God was going to put a lion's spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets, and he wasn't going to come back from the battle. He was going to die. Now look over with me in chapter 18, look in verse 29, we see that Jehoshaphat disguised himself. He goes into the battle with Ahab, this wicked king. He's disguised himself, And how many know when we pretend to be something we're not, we're going to get in trouble too. All right, next verse. Verse 31. Down in the middle. Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. They were going to kill him. And God moved them to depart from him. Aren't you glad for God's protection? When you get over the enemy's camp sometime, come on. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. And so God protected this king. Now, for it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. So there was a military alliance. Now look in chapter 19. Notice God sending a prophet now to Jehoshaphat. He's going to rebuke him. I mean, God knows how to rebuke all of us. Amen. He knows how to chasten you and I and rebuke us. As many as I love, come on. I rebuke and chasten, he says. Therefore, he said, repent. Now, here he's going to send a prophet, and thank God for the prophets that God sends. And this seer comes out to meet him in verse 2, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly? So he made this tithe. He made this alliance with the ungodly, and about got him killed. And he said, and love them that hate the Lord. Did you hear that? He said, you love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the growth out of the land, hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, it says. Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot more in there that I won't read and go into. So God rebuked him through the prophet. Now, turn over to 2 Chronicles 21. Here is the marriage alliance. Otherwise, when he opened up to Ahab with this military alliance, it opened up his home for his son to marry a wicked woman. Can you hear that? Chapter 21, verse 1. Now, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, was buried, his fathers in the city, and Jehoram, his son, began to reign in his stead. Now look down to verse 5. I'm skipping over a lot of things, but look down to verse 5. Here's the firstborn going to reign now after Jehoshaphat. And Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Notice, he didn't walk in the ways of his father Jehoshaphat. Everybody see that? He walked in the wicked ways of the kings of Israel. Not like as did the house of Ahab. Here's why. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and her name is Athaliah. She is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And he wrought that which was evil, come on, in the eyes of the Lord. So when Jehoshaphat opened up to that military alliance, it opened up an alliance with his son and that daughter of Jezebel. Can you see that? Now, there's a monetary alliance. Look over in 2 Chronicles 20, 2 Chronicles 20, 35. How many know some people get in business deals and they get hurt? I knew a man one time, I saw him in a dream, I had a vision of him, and I saw a contract, and I saw that the man that he was going to go on the contract with was evil, and that he was going to get hurt, and I told another man, he called the man and stopped him right before he signed the contract, he would have got hurt and lost thousands of dollars. But God intercepted. How many know God again is merciful? So here in chapter 20, it says, notice, chapter 20, verse 35, and after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Now notice, he's joining himself again with wickedness. He's got a weakness in him, doesn't he? And if we join up with wickedness, we have a weakness in him. We need deliverance. Come on, we need to cry out to God. Next verse. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezan-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah, boy, what a name. Anyway, he's a prophet. He comes to prophesy, notice, against Jehoshaphat. Maybe if we get over in the ballpark where we shouldn't be, maybe God will send a prophet and tell us, hey, get out of the ballpark. You're doing evil. Or repent. Come on. We need to hear it. Because here's the reason. Thou hast joined thyself with Hazael, and notice, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. Some business failed because we get in with the wrong crowd. And God's blessing ain't on it. Ain't on it, I said. Ain't on it. Can you say amen? Now, notice, military alliance, Ahab. You got that? Marriage alliance, Athaliah and the son. And monetary alliance, Ahaziah. Three A's there. Now, look over another scripture with me. I got another scripture I want to give you, if I can find it. There's another one. I don't know if I wrote it down. Praise God. It's in 1 Kings, I think, maybe. Let's go to 1 Kings. I hope I've got it down. Praise God. I believe it's 1 Kings 11. Let's turn over there. Or no, 2nd. Maybe 2 Kings. Somewhere here. I'll find it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't think I have the scripture down, but I'll just tell you. There was another... After this happened, after this monetary alliance happened, then the man wanted to come back and make another alliance with him, and he would not do it. He learned his lesson pretty hard. So we got to learn from our mistakes. Amen? You and I both. Now go to 2 Kings 11 and verse 1. Thank you, Lord. And it says, when Athaliah, now remember she is the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and noticed she destroyed all the seed royal, all the royal seed. And we know the enemy was out to stop the seed of God from coming forth and to destroy the seed. He's tried it many times, didn't he? But he never did succeed because they took a little boy, a little child here, and hid him, which they knew not of, and he was the only one left of this royal seed. You know, the devil would like to destroy the seed of God, wouldn't he? He'd like to destroy you and I. And I, you know, there's times that I've heard the devil say, well, I'm going to kill you. But praise God, I always manage to wake up the next morning. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, God's grace is with us. Huh? Yeah, not long ago, I heard him. He said, you're going to die tonight. But the next morning, I woke up, my eyes were open, and the sun was shining, and I felt good. Hallelujah. And I'm not bragging. I mean, oh, God is able to keep all of us. And I sure don't boast in my flesh. Come on. Because we are no match for the devil in our flesh. But we are a match for him in Christ. I said in Christ. Jack talked about in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, look here. Notice what it says here. It says they hid the child 6 months in verse 3. And notice Athaliah reigned over the land. 6 years, excuse me. 6 years. And, of course, she ruled during that 6 years. And six, thank you. That six is the number of men. And so she ruled during the 6 years. And, you know, there is that spirit of Jezebel, that spirit wants to have the preeminence. It wants to be an authority. Come on. It wants to get to the top any way that it can. Can you say amen? I wrote a little book back there on Jezebel quite a while back. I did this purpose. I put 13 stars around that face because 13 is the number of rebellion. And how many know Jezebel is rebellion? Whether it's in men or women. How many know men have a problem with Jezebel, too? They thought all on the women. But I tell you, I've met some men that had stronger Jezebel than some women. Come on, it's in both. And we need deliverance from Ahab. We need deliverance from Jezebel. But I put in this little book, 15 points, with concerning Jezebel and the ministry. I said, Jezebel will try to use the prophet. If Jezebel can divide the people from the prophet or gain favor of the prophet, or conquer the prophet in some way, then Jezebel can gain favor with the people. Well, I go on 15 points there. Because I tell you, a lot of Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel, has been sent in the churches to tear up the churches and destroy the ministries. How many know that's true, brother? Sure. Now look here in this chapter. It is true. Let's look down this chapter now, here, that we're in. Look in chapter 11, verse 13. I believe it's 13 I want to go to. Athaliah hears the noise. And then in verse 14, when she finds out the little boy was alive, she says, treason, treason, verse 14. Then you'll notice in verse 15, the latter part of verse 15, it says, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. Let me tell you, there's death to follow Jezebel. And I remember God woke me up several times years ago and began to talk to me about Jezebel.
And I preached on it many times, many places. And I've heard God just say, get up and preach on Jezebel. And you know, it's not that you're preaching to people. How many know people's not our enemy today? But that spirit that controls people is our enemy. Isn't that right? But first of all, we've got to check our own heart. How many know there's things in us, come on, each one of us that we have to deal with? Come on, in the ministry, we have to deal with control. We have to deal with these things. Amen? Sure, you have to deal with them as well. Husbands control wives. Wives control husbands. Children control parents. Ministers control people, control ministries. I mean, it can go different ways. Isn't that right? Amen. I don't want to control anyone. I don't want anybody controlling me. Except the Holy Spirit. I sure want Him. Amen. And if there's areas on there, and there are times I get out of repentance. God forgive me for any control in my life. I don't want to control nobody. Hallelujah. I'm afraid to control anybody, really. But I'm sure at times we do. I mean, Jack said one time, you know, he said sometimes ministers hurt people and don't even know it. And other times people hurt ministers and don't even know it. But we need to forgive. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look down in the chapter. So those that follow her is going to die, he says. Now, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Of course, she died where the horses came out. If you don't know where she died. All right, verse 20. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was what? In quiet. When Athaliah died, the city was full of quietness. I mean, if you get Jezebel out of you, you'll have some quietness. You'll have some peace. Come on now. You better believe it. I mean, we need some contentment. Godliness with contentment's great gain. The city was in quiet. They slew Athaliah with a sword. Now, go to 2 Chronicles 22. What am I preaching on? Don't follow, don't run with the wrong crowd. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1, again. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead, for the band of men that came with their ravens to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. And notice, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was, come on, Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. It means the granddaughter, actually, there. The granddaughter of Omri. All right, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, that's the son. Now, excuse me, that's the grandson of, of Jehoshaphat. For his mother was his counselor to do what? Wickedly. Well, if you're going to sit under a counselor that's wicked, what's going to be imparted to you? Come on. Wickedness. I mean, no, not all counselors are of God.
Amen.
Most of them have put the shingle out 8 to 5. Some of them needs to take it down and burn it.
Amen.
I mean, no, God wants seasoned ministries to counsel the people of God.
Amen.
No seasoned minister is going to tell you to run out here and jump out here and get a divorce on some little old silly thing like some people do. Come on, help me now. No way. There's a lot of garbage going on when it comes to counsel. How many know there is safety in the multitude of counselors? Yes. I believe that. But in Isaiah 30, there's a people there going down to Egypt because they're listening to wrong counsel and is leading them down to the world. Lust the eye, lust the flesh, and pride of life. Come on, amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 3, he also walked in the ways of Ahab. His mother was the counselor to do wickedly. Verse 4, wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. Not like his grandfather Jehoshaphat. For they were his counselors, he had more than one, after the death of his father to his destruction. You get under wrong counsel, you listen to a wrong voice, it'll lead you to your grave. Somebody say amen. And I tell you, brethren, there are people that I've told things to that would not listen. And I know Jack has and many others. How many know that I've seen them go the wrong way. Amen. I'm thinking of one young man. I told him not to do a particular thing. He went ahead and did it. And wasn't long, his wife left him. The house was broken. He was in shambles because he wouldn't listen. We get too big for our britches and we won't listen. How many know God knows how to take us down? Amen. Now, it led him to destruction. He walked also after their counsel. Now, look down with me, please, to verse 10. God pronounces judgment on Ahab. How many know Elijah pronounced the judgment, the death, doom, destruction upon Ahab and Jezebel? But it was carried out in the reign of Elisha, the double portion minister. Now, verse 10. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose, notice here now again, and destroyed all the seed, the royal seed of the house of Judah, she thought, except that one. And then if you go down to verse 12 again, it says, notice, and he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. And I tell you, it's sad when a Jezebel's ruling over a land. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to say nothing else. God knows. But how many know prayer changes things? Amen. Prayer changes things. Now look over with me. Look over now in chapter 24. I want to show you something here now. 24th chapter. The 24th chapter of the verse. 24th chapter, verse 7. For the sons, now the word sons, of course, is the offspring. The sons are the offspring of Athaliah. That what kind of woman? Well, we just saw back here that she was a counselor to her son to do wickedness. And so her offspring is going to be wicked. And so it said, notice, the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And I guarantee you 99% of the things that happen in the church, with terror church, that Jezebel is involved. Jezebel, I'm talking about either men or women. That divisive spirit, amen, comes in. And let me go farther. Even in a home, if you got Jezebel, you got Ahab. Isn't that right? You got Ahab, you got Jezebel. Whoever, you know, whether it's the wife or husband, either one. The sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow up or give to Balaam. Not only did they tear up the house of God, but they took the money and gave it to Baal. How many know that Baalism worship came from Jezebel? Can I tell you something? I ain't going to put my money just any place. I'm going to put it where the kingdom of God is preached. Let's look in Luke 8. I want to show you this in Luke 8. I can't tell you where to put yours between you and God, but I know where I'm going to put mine. I'm going to put it where the kingdom is preached. Chapter 8. Verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of what? The kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, thank God for the women here, which had been healed of evil spirits, and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Johanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance, or their goods. Hallelujah. So they gave to Jesus all their substance. But what was his message? The kingdom. And I want to support the kingdom of God, like these godly women did. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to tell you seven ways how to overcome Jezebel. I'm not going to go in the scriptures, but write them down if you want it. Number one, and this is from Proverbs. Number one, we need wisdom and understanding to deal with the spirit of Jezebel. That's Proverbs 7. How many believe we need some wisdom and understanding today? Oh, yes. Praise God. Number two... I believe it's number two. Well, one and two. Let's put one and two. Wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 7. And there's other scriptures there as well in Proverbs that I could take you into. Number three, this is Proverbs 9. I mean, know that we need to see Jesus. Now, in Proverbs 9, you got two choices. It's either Jezebel or Jesus. You read the whole chapter, you'll see what I mean. And who does she really affect? The simple ones, the young ones. And how many know that her ways are the ways of hell? And so you got a choice. You got a choice. You can go the way of Jezebel or you can go the way of Jesus. I tell you, Jesus will deliver you out of her hands. Amen? Number four, we got to mature in the Lord. That's Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. How many know it takes the fivefold ministry to mature us? Apostles, come on. Prophets, teachers, shepherds, evangelists. We submit to Christ in the ministry. Now hear me, Christ in the ministry, and we grow up in the Lord. We have a problem with that, then we have a problem, don't we? Number five is that joy, the joy of the Lord, will help you to overcome Jezebel. Ezekiel 13, 17 through 20-something there, you'll see that spirit of Jezebel is out to make you sad. Listen, God doesn't make us sad. Sadness is not from God. I believe it comes from the enemy. And I walked through depression 15 years. I know what sadness is. I know what it means to get up and there's a thick cloud over your head and seem like you can't get it off of you sometimes. But thank God he brought me through that. And there is joy serving God. Can you say amen? Number six. That's when I learned a lot about Jezebel. Number six. I'm still learning. Number six. Is this is 2 Kings 9, 1 through 4, 5. You've got to have the anointing to deal with the spirit of Jezebel. God anointed this young prophet. He went over to Jehu and anointed Jehu. And how many know Jehu was not afraid of Jezebel? He looked up to some and said, throw her down. He'd run right over. Remember that? That was the natural, of course. We're not running over somebody in the natural. We're trying to run over some spirit. Come on. In the name of the Lord. Number seven. We have to submit to God's word. Proverbs 6:23. Because it said the commandment, the word, is the lamp, the law is the light, and reproofs of instruction of the ways of life in that scripture. And then verse 24 tells us to keep thee from the evil woman, that's Jezebel, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Verse 25 of Proverbs there says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. A lot of precious men have fallen because of that. A lot of precious women have fallen because they fell for some greener pastures and found it was cuckleburrs when they got there. Come on, help me now. Number eight. God protect, keep us in our green, Lord. Keep us in our own pasture. Number eight, you have to become a eunuch to overcome Jezebel. What does that mean? That means, of course, you know, in the natural, we know there's eunuchs for the kingdom of God and so forth. But we cannot reproduce out of ourselves. It has to be by the Holy Ghost. And when Jehu looked up, he saw those eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. Brother, they took hold of that Jezebel who had painted her face. Remember that? Tied up her hair. And threw her down. They were not afraid to tackle Jezebel. Amen? So if you become a eunuch, you're not afraid of the spirit of Jezebel because you know that the greater one lives in you. Amen? And your reproduction is not out of yourself. It's only by the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. So those are some of the ways to overcome. So watch who you and I run with. There is a crowd out there that wants to steal. There's a spirit out there that wants to steal your purity. Take you away from your allegiance to Christ to Antichrist. Amen? Hallelujah. In closing, I just want to say this. There's two things going to happen at the end of this age. God's going to pour out His Spirit, and there's going to be an apostasy. How many know we don't have to be in the apostasy? We don't have to be in the falling away. We don't have to defect from truth. We don't have to. And I choose, by the grace of God, to follow Christ and get in the flow and be in the army and see the outpouring. I don't want to go to destruction. I want to be with the Lord. And I want to fulfill my calling right here on the earth. Don't you? With joy. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's all just repent today. Let God bring situations to your mind now. Maybe people to your mind that the Spirit would tell you to break with if they're affecting you in the wrong way, if they're affecting you to do things, you know, that you shouldn't be doing, if you've been under ministry that's affected you the wrong way that was not the Holy Spirit, if you've been in churches that have led you the wrong direction, then you need to repent and you need to let God tell you what to do. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, let's all lift our voice and pray now. Lord, we just lift up our hearts and our voice today, Lord. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for submitting to wickedness to any individual or individuals. Forgive us, Lord, for submitting to spirits that have affected us, Lord, in our behavior, in our doctrine, our mannerism, Lord. Lord God, forgive us, Lord, if there are ministries that affected us the wrong way. Forgive, Lord, we forgive them, and we ask you, God, to forgive us. Lord, if there are churches that have led us in the wrong direction, wrong doctrine, down the wrong path, Lord, we ask your forgiveness, Lord. And we ask that you show us the way you'd have us to go. Lord, mark out the pathway that you put us upon, Lord. And help us not deviate from it, Lord God. Lord, I remember the scripture in Isaiah. You said the teachers are going to come out of the corner and they're going to say, this is the way, walk you in it. Lord, bring the teachers out to point the people in the right direction to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Lord, I take authority over all control, manipulation, domination over any of us today. If you feel this just coming up, just take a deep breath and let her go, okay? I come against the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Ahab. I come against the spirit of control, dominion, domination in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of Jezebel, take your roots and I command you to loose the people today in the name of Jesus. I command those tentacles to come out of the people. Come on, everybody take a deep breath and let her go. Come on. In the name of Jesus. All dominion, come on, come out of the people. All control, come out in Jesus' name. You've been affected by other people that control, manipulated you. Forgive that person, but get your deliverance in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us for submitting to Ahab, for pouting. God, forgive us for pouting. Forgive us for not growing up in Christ. Forgive us for turning over the reins of our home and church or whatever to the enemy. God, the wrong way. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us in the blood of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Come on, let's raise our hands. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless thee, O Lord. We bless thee, O Lord. We praise you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hira rana brosita ra brasita braha yondo brasita. Hira rana brosita ra braso. Hira rana. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Here are our brosie, the braki, candelibrisi, and the braso, hallelujah, hallelujah. Orian delibrisi, and the brakorian, the braso, riabrasi, carabrahan. Lord, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. We praise thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah. We praise thy name. Anybody have a word of the Lord? Just obey the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Obey the Spirit if anybody has a word. Sometimes we get in a big hurry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes.
I want to heal you of your brokenness, God. I want to make you into vessels of honor that you can do honorable things. Yea, the Lord thy God has relieved you of Jezebel, but now you must walk in it.
Amen.
You must walk in it, says God, and never control one another, for it is not of God, says God.
Mm.
And I say unto you, my children, come in to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And stop with me and commune with me, says God. For I desire to have a bride. I desire to have those set apart unto me that will take up the cross, that will take up their life and say, God, everything, everything, everything is yours, Father. And they will stop with me, will spend time with me, my children.
Yes, Lord.
For I am lonely, my children. I am lonely. Do not think that I am not lonely, says God. For I desire your fellowship, my children. I desire to make you whole. I desire to have you sup with me, says God. Come on to me, says the Father.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Anyone else? Have a word. Yes, Lord.
I have feasted on milk for too long. And I would say to you, the remnant, to pray for the rest of the body that they would not tarry at the third level of Jerusalem, but that they would come on in to the top level.
Hallelujah.
Going forth and being used by my spirit. It is my desire that the world should see my spirit move forth my desire.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Maybe there's another one. Let's wait. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Mm-hmm.
You must rise up strong in me.
Mm-hmm.
You must be strong in me to stand. But I will give you power.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord. Overcome
this. Yes.
But be strong in me, trust in me, and I will cause you to overcome.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may go ahead and pray for the food. Father, we thank you for the good food that they prepared today, Lord, and we thank you for all your people here today. And God, we just bless you and thank you for all your goodness and your mercies to us. Bless the food to our bodies today, Lord, and give us extra strength. We thank you for the service this afternoon. And for tonight, those that's going to share, we just pray for them that you will give them strength and give them the word that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.